I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It is Monday, June 13th, and you are listening to another edition of the West of the Rest podcast here on the 24/7 Sports Football Recruiting podcast feed. My name is Blair Angulo, and filling in for my usual co-host, Brandon Huffman, is national recruiting analyst Andrew Ivins, who is an honorary member of the West of the Rest. He was out west this past weekend. Andrew, we got to hang out for a couple of days in the Las Vegas heat for the inaugural overtime OT7 tournament. It was a fantastic event, maybe one of the most loaded events that we've been to in quite some time in terms of the sheer star power. But first of all, I want to ask you, how are you recovering?
I don't think I'm a dry heat guy. I've established that after a Sunday elimination day where temperatures were in like 110 degrees. I can't imagine these kids playing in that stuff. And, you know, in Florida, we got the humidity, and I just think I'm a little more used to that. So I'm recovering, you know. Part of the gig is doing the red eye flights and all that stuff. So I'm ready to rock.
Dude, I like it. I like it. And the first thing I did when I got back was get my, you know, those massagers. I don't want to name the brand that I have because we're not sponsored,
no free advertisement.
But yeah, I had to run that thing through my legs. It was a grind, especially on Friday where I was able to go out to Bishop Gorman and stand on my feet with our colleague Chris Singletary for another 4 hours, which was a lot of fun. I needed a bit of sugar. But unfortunately, Andrew, and we were talking about this, the main attraction from some of these official visits, They are in full swing here in the month of June. We haven't been seeing the cookie cake.
Yeah. What happened to the cookie cake? And it has been replaced by luxury cars. I don't know when this shift happened. I think you got some theories out there, but that is the new hot thing in the world of college football visits is getting an extremely expensive car and somehow getting it on your field and then doing a photo shoot with your top targets. It seems like every weekend someone else is doing one. I know Florida just had a Lamborghini out there for Jaden Rashada and a few other guys. And, you know, you were saying Samson Okolona, the offensive tackle out of Massachusetts. He was at Michigan State and they had some car out there. It's wild to me. But I guess in the name, image, likeness era, it makes some sense, especially when most of these guys are getting car deals.
Yeah. And I remember last year during the summer, Oklahoma had their annual Champ U barbecue event. And I think that's when I first started to realize that this was happening. I don't know if it's happened before then, but I did remember last year, summer of 2021, four or five luxury vehicles parked in the end zone, recruits going out and taking photos. And, you know, it's unfortunate because the cookie cake had a nice little run. And what was that costing these schools? Maybe $15 a head?
Yeah, I mean, I feel bad for the small mom and pop shops in all these college towns that were cranking out cookie cakes a couple weekends a year. Now you need to be a luxury auto broker.
To reap
the benefits.
Right. Yeah. Just as Lucy was getting the logo right, with all the frosting and making sure that it matched the exact color of all these teams, they go out and start changing it for some candy colored cars. But let's get into the OT7. It was a phenomenal event. I thought it was very, very well executed. Apart from that Sunday championship round in the 110, 112 degrees, the other 3 days was an evening session each night. And I thought it made for some really terrific and really scintillating action. I thought, you know, we were able to see a lot of players in a short amount of time. And it was, I thought, was, you know, well run with the way that 7-on-7 has gone. No one is saying that it's football. No one is saying that, you know, that's where the offers are earned, but it does provide us a really good opportunity to evaluate certain characteristics, competitiveness, speed, vision for some of these quarterbacks, the accuracy, all that stuff. And I thought it was terrific. You had a very cool piece where you put put together a dream team of the inaugural OT7 event. And let's get into it. You know, at quarterback, you have Nico Iamaleava, the Tennessee commit, who, by the way, was in a G-Wagon during his visit to Knoxville. So we're getting back to the car thing. But Dante Moore was a very close second when we're considering the quarterbacks.
Yeah, Dante Moore, he played for Cam Newton's C1N team, and he carried them to the championship game, and C1N ended up falling to the South Florida Express, who I describe as a group with a rock star-like roster. I mean, they had tons of star power, but I'm just a huge Nico fan. You know, he wasn't there Thursday, showed up Friday, was our alpha dog on Friday, came out Saturday, I thought was the most consistent of the big-name quarterbacks there. And then on Sunday, early on in the day, his team was facing some adversity, and I hate using that word in football games, but they were trailing, and Nico led a comeback, and then he almost did it in the next round, which would have got them in, I think, to the Final Four, the Elite Eight. His arm talent is just, it's jaw-dropping. I mean, if you spend 20 minutes watching him, you're going to come away going, this is one of the best arms I've ever seen in my life. It's unique. It's rare. He's kind of got like a shoulder-level arm slot, and when I watch him, you know, what I keep thinking is, there's so much more that he can become. I mean, the arm is not married to the footwork in the lower half right now. I mean, I think he's still kind of freelancing there. So once he gets coached up, it's going to be scary because there's not many guys that can just whip it the way he does. And I kind of relate it to like a baseball pitcher. You know, sometimes you look at one of those guys and it's like, man, how's this guy throw so fast? But it's just the mechanics. And he was super, super impressive. And the other thing I liked about him is he was not afraid to push the ball down the field. You know, some of these guys, and I know it's a product of who's calling plays and for what 7-on-7 organization, but like Dante Moore, he never really took many vertical shots. It was a lot of short to intermediate things, a lot of scripted things. Nico, on the other hand, I mean, he wasn't afraid to throw it into a tight window and make it and force his receiver to make a play. So he remains probably my favorite quarterback in the class of 2023. I know he's ranked number 3 in our rankings right now, number 3 overall. But if you are a Tennessee fan, I think I've said this like 15 times over the past week, you got to be super excited about him.
Yeah, you've got to be elated, ecstatic. You've got to be super optimistic about his potential in Knoxville. And I really think that you hit it on the head there where you mentioned his arm angles, right? The way he's able to whip the ball out. And at times it looks like he's testing himself, right? Like he can make a simple throw, or he can hit a receiver here on the flat, or go over the middle for the easy completion. But there are times where I see him pre-snap and he recognizes, okay, I might have this really cool opportunity to make a really fun throw here. Like he's out there not only testing himself, but I think he's having fun. And he didn't have the level of receiver that maybe some of these other quarterbacks had, right? You talk about South Florida Express and all the weapons that they had on their way to the championship with Malachi Nelson, the USC quarterback commit. Dante Moore, I would assume in my eye, had more weapons than Nico. Yeah. But I thought Nico made the most of what he had on his team, and he was terrific. I think I'm right there with you. I think his upside puts him over the top for me, because you look at him and he's gangly. He's out there wearing the pajamas. He's loose. He's kind of got like a Snoop Dogg vibe to him, right? And in terms of like his demeanor and the way he's like walking around, like, and I'm not saying that because he's going to go play at Long Beach Poly for his senior year and that's where Snoop Dogg went. But I just think that the way he carries himself gives him that opportunity at the next level to really take chances. And I think he's going to be able to take those steps in his development and not put too much pressure on himself. A lot has been made about his NIL deal and you know, everything that comes with that, the attention, the spotlight, the expectations. But this is a player who I think really thrives in that when he knows that everyone's watching him, when he knows that all eyes are on him. And is that a Tupac lyric, by the way? So I'm kind of keeping it West Coast here. But I do think that he's special. And you know, in a year or two, maybe we could look back and say this was the best quarterback in this class. So we will continue to monitor that. I think it's not over, and the Elite 11 finals are coming up at the end of the month as well. So we'll be able to see all the quarterbacks in that same setting.
Can I fire this in there as well? You know, Nico isn't the most known recruit in this class. That's obviously Arch Manning, given the last name. But I think the average sports fan knows who he is. Like, he's a known commodity because of that NIL stuff. But Nico signed autographs for tons of kids, took tons of photos. I mean, I pulled them aside because I wanted to, I'm going to write something about the pajamas and when he started wearing those. I was doing a little story, and I have no relationship with Nico. I mean, obviously he knows I work for 24/7 Sports, but he was super nice. You know, sometimes these kids, I like to call it, they get poisoned. They become bigger than, you know, the head grows, the ego grows, but Nico didn't have any of that. And I was just surprised. You know, I was expecting the complete opposite. So I thought that was interesting. You know, it reminded me when I met Zion Williamson out in Las Vegas, just happened to be in Las Vegas, and he was just kind of in his purest form. So I'm a fan, and I can't wait to see him play on Saturdays.
Noted high school football fan Zion Williamson. He made it out to a San John Bosco game a few years ago when his NBA team was in town to play the Lakers. And he just went out to the sideline and was hanging out watching high school football. So we're bringing it all back to the same thing. At running back, Andrew, you had Reuben Owens. The running backs get lost in 7-on-7. It's a bit tough to really highlight them or to really exploit them in a way, unless you flex them out or you put them in motion or whatever it may be. But he was terrific all weekend long as well.
Yeah, I think you could, you know, if you didn't know the name and where he's ranked and what he does in the state of Texas, you would have probably thought he was a wide receiver because he just ran routes that well. This is my second time seeing Reuben Owens in a 7-on-7 setting. And I just think he mixes gears so well. He knows how to create separation. He's sure-handed. And, you know, I don't know if he's the best pass catcher in the class of 2023. I think Cedric Baxter, who's right behind him in the pecking order when it comes for us in terms of running backs. But he's special. And I think it's surprising when I looked at his stats, like he's only, assuming his stats are correct on Max Preps, our partner, he's only caught 20 passes at the varsity level. I mean, but this looks like a guy that's gotten 40, 50 balls. So he was awesome. And you know, that recruitment's a Texas TCU. I think I saw his dad wearing TCU gear on the sidelines. Louisville's in there, Texas A&M. So someone's going to get a good one in him.
I think so too. He's going to be special. And he's one of those players that, like I mentioned, with running backs, it's seamless for him. He can go out there and make plays and he doesn't really get lost in the shuffle. At receiver and at tight end, we're going five wide here. You had Brandon Innes, Jurion Dickey, the Oregon commit, Noah Rogers, Bryson Rogers, the Ohio State commit, as well as Tennessee commit Ethan Davis.
Yeah, I mean, the big thing here, and I want to talk about Ethan Davis because I think I'm the president of his fan club, so I'm going to get to him. But you mentioned Brandon Innes, right? Noah Rogers and Bryson Rogers. Bryson Rogers is already committed to Ohio State. Then you have Noah Rogers and Brandon Innes. And the crystal ball is trending in Ohio State's direction for both those guys. And then there's a fourth receiver that was out there, Carnell Tate, who Ohio State seems to be in somewhat good position with. They're still battling Tennessee and Notre Dame. But realistically, the Buckeyes could sign all four of those guys I just mentioned. So Innes, Rogers, and Carnell Tate. And I think if that were to happen after having watched these guys run around in the Las Vegas desert for 4 days, that would be one of the greatest wide receiver hauls like ever. I would think in the modern recruiting era. And it makes sense. I mean, Brian Hartline, we saw what he did, Zone 6 did in the most recent NFL draft. They produce elite wideouts. And I think kids have taken notice. I think kids like the offense and what's going on there in Columbus. So that was my big takeaway with the wide receivers. Like, if you're a Big Ten defensive coordinator, like I'd be not panicking, but maybe trying to find another job just because I'm going to have to be tasked with covering all these guys at some point down the line. So those guys were all good. Jerrion Dickey, my first real exposure to him. I know Blair, he's a guy out there on the West Coast. You know, to me, he's a guy that needs to move up in the rankings for us. Cooper Pategna, you know, our colleague, he told me coming into the event that he thought Dickey could be inside our top 32, which would mean he's a five-star prospect. And I got to agree, he's super explosive. I think he's the best there is, at least at the tournament, when it comes to running that little post corner route. I mean, he made defensive backs look silly. He plays with a ton of pace. He's twitched up. And when you look at his body, he's still got some growth potential. He's going to see a physical transformation, I think, once he's in a college strength program. So stock up for me there. But it was a very, very talented group of receivers. And I think that just reflects the class of 2023 as a whole. I mean, there's a ton of dudes out there that can move the chains and score touchdowns.
Yeah, Jurion Dickey, very impressive. I think the only thing missing for Oregon right now is that quarterback, right? And they don't have one right now under Kenny Dillingham or Dan Lanning in this first class, this first true class for that program. But Jurion Dickey could be a a big time kind of like a building block, right? Like a cornerstone of this first true class for the Ducks. And you mentioned being the president of the Ethan Davis fan club, Andrew. What made him such a special player this past weekend?
I mean, there's just not many guys his size that move the way he does. You know, we have no real verified information on Ethan Davis, but this is my third or fourth time seeing him play live. I've seen him in pads, seen him work out at his high school, and then saw him out at the OT7. I think this is the best he's ever looked. He's a big body, 6'4", 6'5". You know, we list him at 221 pounds. I think he's probably north of that, but he played on the outside for the Trillion Boys. Shout out, great 7-on-7 name. And he was just a mismatch all weekend. He can move. I think he's got some Brevin Jordan in his game. I think he's like a bigger version of Brevin Jordan. You remember the former Bishop Gorman tight end who played at Miami, had a great career there, and is now with the Houston Texans. I see some of that in him. And, you know, when he committed to Tennessee, it was right before the early signing period, when so many people were just dialed into the class of 2022. So I think he kind of flew under the radar. But to me, he's a massive get for the Tennessee Volunteers. With Nico potentially throwing him passes one day, like, I think he has all SEC type potential. And I feel confident saying this just because the more I learn about him, the more I like. I mean, he scored 43 points in a playoff basketball game this past winter. He had some basketball offers. I know Ole Miss was talking to him about playing both sports, but, you know, putting up that many points in a game is extremely difficult to do. So that just shows how talented he is. So I'm a huge fan of Ethan Davis. I don't know where he'll finish in our rankings, but again, and I keep saying this, man, if you're a Tennessee fan, you got to be excited about the future.
We're going to take a short break, but after the break, we're going to continue our conversation on the defensive standouts at the OT7 tournament. You are listening to the West of the Rest podcast.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We are back on the West of the Rest podcast here, Blair Angulo with Andrew Ivins, national recruiting analyst for 24/7 Sports. He was at the OT7 championships, and he's got a really cool piece over at 247sports.com looking at the dream team from this inaugural event in Las Vegas. Let's start at linebacker on the defensive side of the ball. This is a player from the West Coast who you got a chance to see and were really impressed with, Tausili Akana, the number one edge rusher, who you came up to me. You're like, oh, this guy guy could be an off-ball linebacker.
I'm glad you said his first name, so I don't have to say it. I just call him Akana. I mean,
or you can call him Sealy. He goes by Sealy.
Okay, Sealy. Yeah, he was playing for Nico's team on the defensive side of the ball. To me, I don't know a ton about the kid. Obviously, I'm in Florida. He's in Utah. But that's a guy that the Pac-12, I think, has to keep home. You know, he's a pass rusher by trade. That's where he's going to make his money. But I thought over the course of the four-day tournament, he showed that he could not only drop back into his zone, but he can also kind of stick one-on-one with tight ends and running backs coming out of the backfield. He knows how to redirect guys. And, you know, with what we're seeing in modern football and so many schemes want their edge players to do a variety of different things, I think Akana can do just that. I think he can rush on, you know, second and third down. And then on first down, he can drop back and give you a little different look. So he was awesome over the course of the tournament. You know, the SEC is coming after him, and I'm really not surprised. I think he takes an official visit to LSU here in a few weeks. But he's a special talent there in the state of Utah.
Yeah, so Celia Kana just got back from an eight-day road trip. And he told me Texas was a standout school. He liked Auburn. He liked Tennessee. And then he obviously liked LSU. He will be taking an official visit later this month and will head out to Oklahoma at the end of July, right before the season starts. And you mentioned the Pac-12 needing to keep him close to home. Right now, I would say Utah and Oregon are the two schools that have the best chance. But if I were to bet against the Pac-12 and take the field right now, I would take the field, Andrew. So the Pac-12 may be playing a little bit of catch up with Tausili Akana, the four-star edge rusher from the state of Utah. At cornerback, you had Malik Muhammad, Jaleel Hurley, an Alabama commitment, as well as Desmond Ricks headlining the dream team for that 7-on-7 team.
Can I just say this? I think people don't realize how hard it is to play cornerback, like at a high level. You know, there was a lot of highly ranked corners out there. Cormani McClain was one of them. You know, Cormani McClain got beat a few different times throughout the course of the weekend. But to me, I'm not panicking. I mean, it's easy to point the finger at a cornerback when you see them getting beat, but it's what they do on the plays that they don't give up a pass that they probably don't get a lot of credit for. So Malik Muhammad, he played opposite of Cormani in SFE's secondary, and SFE obviously won the tournament, but just talking with their coaches, they kept saying, he's our best defender. And I agree, just based on the eye test. I mean, Malik Muhammad, he's twitched up, he's got some length in the arms, and he's really instinctual, and he broke up a few passes. I don't think he came down with an interception, but it was a super impressive outing for him. You know, I thought he was the most consistent for the South Florida Express. Texas A&M's in there. Alabama's in there. Texas is in there. So he's one that all the big boys are after. And for good reason. Jaleel Hurley, he physically just looks the part. I mean, he's all of 6'2". Long arms, and he's not even really filled out. You know, he was really good with the hand checks and just getting aggressive from that 5 to 10 yard range without getting flagged. I thought that was notable. Also good instincts. I like his attitude. You know, Auburn is trying to flip him to Alabama, but he's all about Alabama. He told me a few weeks ago he was up in Tuscaloosa and he actually camped and like worked out for Nick Saban and went through drills, which is so rare to see. I mean, most of these kids just want to be wine to dine, for, you know, kind of an expression there on these visits. But Hurley showed up and Saban put him through some drills. And I thought that just kind of describes his lunch pail mentality. He wants to be the best and learn from the best. Desmond Ricks, you know, he could probably play for a lot of Power 5 programs out there this upcoming season. He's just that talented. He too, you know, he probably gave a few passes, but man, he's long. He's got the speed. He's got the ball skills, and he looks like a future CB1 for a college football playoff contender. So it was a deep group of cornerbacks, just like it was a deep group of wide receivers. Brandon Strozer, who's headed to Clemson. I was super impressed with him. I think he's a guy in the conversation for a possible fourth star. Dejon Johnson, Ohio State commit. I liked a lot of him. So strong group of corners, but probably my favorite two, Malik Muhammad and Jaleel Hurley.
It's a tough job out there. It's called a passing tournament, right? So you're going up against the Dante Moores, the Nico Iamaleavas, the Malachi Nelsons, the Jaden Davis, that quality of quarterback in every game. And you're going up against the receivers that we just mentioned in the first segment. It's going to be tough, but a lot of these guys stood out. You went with a three safety look and three corners and just one linebacker. Kudos to the teams that actually go with three linebackers and two corners and two two safeties. You're the real MVPs. But at safety, you had Conrad Hussey, the Penn State commit, Damon Fagan, as well as KJ Bolden.
Yeah, Steve Wiltfong, our colleague, he was out there on Saturday night with me, which is when Conrad Hussey kind of had his coming out party. I think he had two interceptions for DEF CON. He's a guy I've been tracking for a long time. I don't know if I've said it on this podcast. Maybe it was the Penn State podcast, but someone I've had my eyes on. He's at St. Thomas Aquinas, which is literally 5 minutes from my house. And the first time I met him, I mistook him for Jordan Battle, the Alabama safety, because they have the similar size. And I think Conrad has progressed immensely here over the past 6-8 months. You know, he broke the all-important 11-second mark in the 100-meter dash, which was surprising to me. I didn't know he had that type of speed. But I think he could be a field safety, a box safety. But over the weekend, he was actually playing outside cornerback, and he had a ton of success there. Like I said, jumping routes and getting some interceptions. I think Penn State was ahead of the curve with him. You know, if he wasn't committed to Penn State right now, I think a lot more schools would be calling, especially after that spring evaluation period when they would got a chance to see him. So stock up for Conrad Hussey. I'm sure Mr. Wiltfong will be, you know, nudging me to move him up in the rankings, and for good reason. Damon Fagan, he too was right down the road for me at American Heritage in Plantation. He had three interceptions. He's kind of got a unique build. I had one coach at American Heritage tell me he's like a beanpole, and I think that's very accurate. He's like 6'2", 6'3", and he's super skinny. But he went up and won a few contested balls in the air. It was a big reason why the South Florida Express are headed back home with some hardware. Just took a visit to NC State. Ohio State's kind of been kicking the tires, so he was a good one. And then finally, KJ Bolden, who's our number one ranked athlete in the class of 2024. I think we need to just move him to safety because that's where his future is. He just makes things easy for the people around him in terms of, I think his teammates know that he's going to bail them out if there's trouble, and he's got the speed to do that. But he looked the part as well. So strong group of safeties, and I'm going with the three safety look because that's what they're doing on Saturdays and Sundays now, man. It's turning into a safety game on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, you need that neutralizer. You need someone that could do a bit of everything in the secondary. And before we go, you did name a utility, which is a player that you need in 7-on-7, right? A guy that's going to be able to fill in whenever you need a guy at the goal line that could maybe give you a little bit of length, or you know, kind of a super sub that can go in there and match up whenever you need a big important first down. And you went with Mike Matthews.
Mike Matthews, yeah, we ranked him as our number one safety in the class of 2024 a few weeks ago. That was before he had offers from Georgia and Clemson, and the Bulldogs and Tigers have since offered. He's a kid right there in Georgia, and you know, if we're moving KJ Bolden over to safety, we should probably move Mike Matthews over to athlete, because Hustle Inc. used him as a wide receiver throughout the tournament, and he made a ton of plays there. This is also a basketball kid, just a really, really good athlete. I think the word that you describe him is bounce. He can go up and get it. So he looked the part. I don't know where he's going to play at the next level, if it's going to be safety or if it's going to be wide receiver, but he's got a bright future ahead of him.
Yeah, really exciting list. Remember, you can check it out over at 24/7 Sports, the dream team for the inaugural OT7 tournament. Andrew, it was a pleasure. And next time, maybe you'll be rolling around in one of those Lambos. We got to get you a really flashy car the next time we're rolling through the Las Vegas Heat.
I know, man. Avis needs to hook it up next time when we try to get an upgrade. Not that, what was it, like candy blue Toyota 4Runner they tried to give you?
They got the color right? Like, if we're going like really sexy sports car, they got the color right. It was like an electric blue. I thought we would have looked great just rolling down Durango or whatever street that was. But the car itself was not, and it was locked, so we couldn't even access it. So we ended up changing up, but not to a sports car. So Andrew, thank you so much, and can't wait to do it again.
Yeah, thank you, Blair. We'll talk to you later.
All right. That is Andrew Ivins, National Recruiting Analyst for 24/7 Sports. For Andrew and our producer, Lance Glenn, I am Blair Angulo. Thank you so much for listening to this edition of the West of the Rest podcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or
I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.